For as long as the U.S. has kept records, the percentage of Black Americans in this country has hovered between 12 and 13%. Through slavery, through emancipation, through civil rights, through mass incarceration, through every census and every cultural shift, 13%. It's the one number in American demographics that doesn't move. Everything else changes. White Americans were once 90% of the population. Now they're slipping below 58%. Asian Americans were once statistically invisible. Now they're over 6% and climbing. Hispanic Americans were barely 4% in 1970. Now they make up more than 19% of the entire U.S. population. But Black America, still 13%, unchanged, contained. That fact is rarely talked about in mainstream media. You won't hear it at DEI panels or census press conferences, but the numbers are sitting there, quietly. And they're telling a story that data analysts won't say out loud. One group has been held still, while others grow freely. The question is, why? It's not about conspiracy, it's math. Every other group in the U.S. reflects change over time. Immigration, birth rates, longevity, family structure, all of it affects population growth. White America's population is declining because birth rates are dropping and deaths are outpacing births. Hispanic and Asian populations are growing fast because of a combination of higher birth rates and steady immigration. Black Americans, by contrast, don't have those drivers. There's no influx of African immigration, no baby boom, and no mechanism, legal or illegal, that expands that population at scale. According to the most recent U.S. Census data, the total Black population in 2023 was about 48.3 million people, roughly 13.6% of the country. But the kicker is this. In 1980, it was about 11.7%. In 2000, 12.3%. In 2010, 12.6%. In 2020, 12.8%. The line barely moves. It climbs a fraction, then plateaus. All while the total U.S. population grows from 226 million in 1980 to over 334 million today. It's not just about a slow growth rate. It's about being stuck in demographic cement. Meanwhile, the Hispanic population has exploded. In 1980, there were about 14.6 million Hispanic Americans, just 6.4% of the population. In 2023, over 65 million, roughly 19.5%. That's a 345% increase in four decades. Asian Americans, from about 3.5 million in 1980, 1.5%, to over 20 million in 2023, 6%. That's a near 500% spike. It's not just about where the numbers are, it's about who's moving and who's not. These changes matter because population is power. It defines voting blocks, districts, funding, political leverage, cultural visibility, and the people running the country, those who measure control not just by ideology, but by numbers, aren't confused about any of this. They see the trend lines just fine. And here's where the real shift happens. The panic isn't about Black Americans anymore. The fear that drives modern immigration policy, border walls, mass deportations, and replacement theory rhetoric isn't focused on the Black population. That war has already been structured. There are systems in place, prisons, welfare myths, policing patterns, generational poverty, centuries of cultural containment. That control model has been tested, perfected, and sustained. America knows how to manage Black descent. But immigrants, specifically Latino immigrants, represent something different. Growth without control. They're the group that doesn't have a centuries-old playbook. They're not bound by one region, one religion, one language, or even one historical narrative of oppression, and they're growing fast. Not because of welfare or crime or fraud, but because of birth, family, migration, and cultural strength. And they're moving into states that tilt the balance: Arizona, Texas, Georgia, North Carolina, Florida. These aren't just border states, they're battlegrounds, electoral flashpoints, and the growth is changing the numbers faster than redistricting can keep up. This is what the political class understands, even if they won't say it in public. if you can't control the growth, you control the gate. And that's why the immigration debate is louder, harsher, and more militarized than ever before. Not because of racism in the traditional sense, but because of math. Because America knows what happens when a population grows faster than it can be absorbed. It tips the balance. And in a system built on the illusion of fixed power, that shift looks like chaos. So the fear isn't rooted in crime or language or culture, it's rooted in uncontainability. Black America has been statistically managed. Latino growth is statistically disruptive. One has been absorbed into the system. The other is still pressing against its edge. And that edge is cracking. This isn't a call to panic. It's a call to recognize what's really happening beneath the politics. The dog inside the house is the one they've trained, fed, studied, disciplined. The dog at the gate is the one they don't know how to handle. And when power feels threatened, it doesn't negotiate, it doesn't reflect, it doesn't try to understand, it pushes away, it scares away, it throws away, it contains, and if none of that works, it kills. The fear of immigration has never really been about crime. If it were, the data would have killed the argument years ago. Repeated studies show that immigrants, documented or otherwise, commit crimes at significantly lower rates than native-born Americans. They're not flooding jails. They're not destabilizing communities. They're working, building families, contributing to GDP, and paying taxes into systems that often don't even recognize them. But fear doesn't operate on facts. It operates on trajectories, on speed, on what the map might look like in 20 years if no one does something now. That's what sits behind the panic. Not what's happened, but what might happen if immigration isn't controlled, if birth rates aren't curbed, if English isn't protected, if the current majority becomes the new minority. And the numbers tell a clear story. In 1965, after the Hart-Celler Act replaced a racist quota system, immigrants made up just 5% of the U.S. population. By 1980, that number had climbed to 6.2%. By 2000, 11.1%. Today, over 14%. Nearly 1 in 7 people in this country was born somewhere else. And when you include their children, that's more than 28% of the country with direct immigrant roots. A full demographic shift, not theory, not paranoia. Math. Now break it down by race. Between 2010 and 2020, the Hispanic population grew by 23%. Asian Americans saw the fastest growth of any group, a 35% increase in the same decade. Black Americans, 5.6% growth, largely through natural birth, not immigration. White Americans declined for the first time in recorded history, down 2.6%. The trend line is clear, and it's not that white America is dying off. It's that everyone else is growing faster. That's the shift they're responding to. Not death, but displacement. This is why immigration became the frontline political issue in the 2010s. It wasn't a policy debate. It was a numbers game dressed up in national security. And when Trump came down that escalator in 2015 and called Mexicans rapists, he wasn't introducing a policy platform. He was issuing a demographic alarm. He was speaking to those who already felt the ground shifting beneath their feet, who saw their children in schools with more Spanish than English, who saw cities changing, names changing, and ballots written in multiple languages. He didn't invent the fear, he named it. And from that moment forward, immigration became more than a border issue. It became an identity crisis. What followed was policy rooted in deterrence, not law. The wall, family separation. Remain in Mexico, mass deportation raids, Muslim bans, cuts to refugee programs, stripped pathways to citizenship. Every move was designed to slow the numbers, not to make the system fairer or safer, but to stall the shift. And the people caught in the middle? They weren't just immigrants. They were the future majority, kids, parents, workers, voters. The system wasn't punishing them for what they'd done. It was reacting to what they represented, growth without permission. Because in a country where the power structure is built on predictability, rapid demographic change isn't seen as opportunity, it's seen as threat. And that's what makes Latino growth different from any other shift this country has faced. It's beyond control. It doesn't move through traditional political channels. It doesn't come from one country, one religion, one region. It moves like water, across borders, across party lines, across state lines. That fluidity makes it hard to contain and even harder to co-opt. Black America was contained through policies. Asian America was absorbed through education and economics. But the Latino community, it's growing faster than either. It's voting in ways no one can predict. It's redefining minority in real time. And it doesn't apologize for being here. That's the part of this story no one wants to say out loud. It's not the border that's being defended, it's the demographic ceiling. The fear is not that immigrants are coming, it's that once they're here, they're not going to leave. And their kids will grow up American. And they'll vote, and they'll run for office, and they'll rewrite the map. That's not a threat to democracy, that is democracy. But to those who've only ever seen themselves in charge, it feels like chaos. So the response isn't policy, it's panic. And the wall isn't about stopping entry, it's about slowing change. There's a lie we've been told for decades, that diversity is progress. That seeing more colors on magazine covers or more names in boardrooms means things are balancing out. That because we've added more seats to the table, everyone's eating now. But the numbers don't lie. They show something different. They show a country where certain populations are growing in power, naturally, organically, unstoppably, while others have been boxed in, framed, and managed to stay exactly where they are. Black Americans have been framed as the primary face of racial tension in this country. Every civil rights debate, every crime bill, every debate about fairness is staged through that lens. But demographically, the country isn't reacting to black growth. There isn't any. The numbers prove it. In 1980, black Americans made up about 11.7% of the population. In 2023, about 13.6%, a small climb over 40 years, with most of that growth coming from natural birth, not immigration. Meanwhile, Asian Americans grew from 1.5% to 6%, Hispanic Americans from 6.4% to nearly 20%. That's not slow evolution, that's demographic transformation. So the question becomes, why has Black America remained static? Why is it the only major racial group in the United States that has not significantly expanded in size, reach, or influence relative to population? Why does every other group grow, diversify, and build new economic strongholds, while Black America gets stuck at 13% decade after decade? It's not because Black Americans aren't having children. It's not because of some mysterious lack of growth. It's because the system has learned how to contain that growth. Incarceration, generational poverty, health disparities, medical neglect, environmental racism, housing discrimination, redlining, underfunded schools, all of it forms a net, not always visible, but always effective. It doesn't reduce the population, it just holds it still, keeps it predictable, keeps it manageable. So while the rest of the country shifts around it, Black America becomes the constant. And in that stillness, in that controlled familiarity, the system finds comfort because it knows how to respond, knows how to spin the narratives, knows how to blame, knows how to absorb the outrage with reforms that don't actually shift power. It's control without growth, a managed protest, a manufactured threat that never really moves the needle. Contrast that with what's happening at the southern border. There's no net that works fast enough, no single strategy that can slow the expansion of the Latino population. So instead of management, the system moves to panic, to enforcement, to suppression, to militarization, because what it can't control, it tries to contain by force. And that's the difference. Black Americans have been systematized, Latino Americans have not, yet. the political machine already knows how to neutralize black resistance. Flood it with funding, partner it with nonprofits, give it symbols, offer it recognition in exchange for regulation. The face of protest gets printed on t-shirts and sold back to the same communities being crushed. That's the cycle. But with Latinos, the system can't even decide what the face of protest looks like because it's too decentralized, too diverse, too multinational, multilingual, multi-faith, too big to pin down with a single narrative. And that's where the anxiety really lives, not in race, in control. Because it's one thing to fear what you've historically oppressed. It's another thing to fear what you can't predict. That's the difference between the dog in the house and the dog at the gate. The one in the house may bark, may fight, may scratch, but it's known. The one at the gate, it could do anything. And the unknown doesn't just scare power, it destabilizes it. The country isn't preparing for a black uprising. It's preparing for a demographic one, a political one, an electoral one. And the target isn't the people who've always been here. It's the people who are still arriving, still growing, still multiplying, still shifting the balance in real time. So Black America becomes the symbol, but not the focus, the image, but not the threat. And that's what's so dangerous about this moment, because while the Black community continues to fight for equity, the system already feels it has equilibrium. It feels that fight has been neutralized through fatigue, through compromise, through engineered outcomes that always lead back to the same place. But with the Latino population, the system can't keep up, and it knows it. Power doesn't panic because it's challenged. Power panics because it's caught off guard. And that's the quiet crisis happening underneath all the headlines, beneath the culture wars, the border debates, the replacement theory rants. What you're really seeing is a structure reacting to something it doesn't fully understand. Because when growth is predictable, it can be managed. When it isn't, it's treated like a threat. That's why the rhetoric around immigration keeps escalating, even when the actual data doesn't match the hysteria. Border crossings rise and fall, just like they always have. Crime doesn't spike, the economy doesn't crash, but the numbers don't go back. And that's the part the system can't digest. It can handle a protest, it can handle a court case, but it doesn't know what to do when the population changes so fast that no law, no wall, no policy can freeze it in place. And here's the uncomfortable truth for the Black community. This fight isn't about us, not anymore. We're still here, still marching, still organizing, still demanding, but we're no longer seen as the existential threat. We've been absorbed into the architecture of resistance. Our numbers haven't moved enough to destabilize anything. And whether that's the result of structural limitation, cultural exhaustion, or long-term engineered containment, it's real. The system knows us. But the Latino population, it's still expanding, still changing the math, still arriving, still voting, still growing into cities that weren't designed for this kind of demographic speed. And when that growth pushes up against the structure, the reaction is always the same. First minimize it, then criminalize it, then militarize the response. Because when power can't absorb, it attacks. This isn't new. Every empire reacts this way when the internal math starts to shift. Not because it hates the outsider, but because it recognizes the limits of its own dominance. What's happening now is just the American version. Border policy, voter ID laws, redistricting, ICE raids, language policing, it's all part of the same move. Hold the line, control the gate, freeze the growth, keep the margins from becoming the middle. But it won't work, because this isn't about walls or fences. It's about birth rates, about momentum, about inevitability. And no system built on fixed dominance can survive in a world where the numbers keep changing, not forever. That's the real fear behind the dog at the gate. It's not that he's violent. It's not that he's unpredictable. It's that he wasn't trained by the house, that he doesn't recognize the commands, that he doesn't sit on cue. He's outside the system. And every time he howls, the foundation shakes a little more. So what does power do? It pushes away. It scares away. It throws away. It contains. And if none of that works, it kills. Not with bullets every time. Sometimes with policy, with paperwork, with detention, with silence, with exhaustion. It removes what it can't control. That's what's happening right now. Not a race war, a numbers war, a quiet reshuffling of what this country will look like in 20 years. And those who've always been in control are scrambling to write new rules before the old ones collapse under the weight of a population they no longer outnumber. And that's why this story matters. Not because it changes how racism works, but because it changes who it targets. Not because it rewrites history, but because it challenges how long the system can pretend its old playbook still works. We were never afraid of the dog in the house. We feed it, groom it, put it in commercials. We built systems to train it. But the one at the gate, that's the one we're afraid of, because we didn't build the gate for him. One story, one truth, one ripple at a time. This is The Ripple Effect, powered by the Truth Project.